LFS Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Monkees, as chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from them, get your request, plaza for text line. Got buy or sell coming up in a couple of minutes. Where's the weekend dough? We'll preview Maryland and Indiana with Keith Cavanaugh. I'll get an update on Kevin Willard's recruiting process here as we're less than a month away from media day for Terps basketball 24 and 25. And speaking of the media, Mark Andrews met with them yesterday out at One Winning Drive, talking about the offense and the weaponry and everybody kind of knowing your role. Know your role?
The thing about this team is that we all understand what's, you know, kind of expected of us and the type of players that we have and the skill guys that we have. You know, we've got a bunch of dangerous guys that are able to really change and affect the game. So for us, it's just about doing our job, you know, whatever's asked of us to help each other out, not be greedy. And, yeah, you know, we're all competitive, get the ball. But as long as we're winning game, executing, I thought Travis Kelce's quote about execution was really good.
I guess he used Travis Kelce because Kelsey's basically in the same spot as Mark Andrews
right.
is. You know, they're not getting a lot of targets. Bob, what I see from Andrews is he's not meshing with Lamar like he has past years. There's been some, like, Andrews stops, Lamar throws it deep. You know, I mean, they're not in sync right now. And the other thing is Bateman's playing well. Flowers is playing well. Likely's playing well. And Justice Hill catches the ball out of the backfield. So there's a lot of dudes, you know, that are catching the ball out of the backfield. And they only threw it, 15 times last week? It's not like they threw it a bunch of times. So, Bob, when he's been the guy, really they didn't have much else. You know, it was Andrews. You stop Andrews, you kind of stop the offense.
8 targets on the season, however, through 3 games for Mark Andrews. And he was asked yesterday, basically, are you okay with that?
You know, I think that you just grow and you kind of, you know, obviously being, you know, year 7 and especially year 2 in this offense, I understand what to expect and what we, you know, have going forward. And even more so this year with all the guys that we have. So, again, just about execution, doing our job, playing hard. You know, my time will come. I believe that. And I feel really good, feel healthy. And, yeah, good things will come.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, who would you rather have their hands on the ball? Andrews or Likely?
Or Flowers. You know what I mean? There's some breakaway speed sort of options.
Yeah, but Likely is so good, yak stuff.
Yeah, but his touches have been pretty limited the last 2 weeks, too.
Yeah. Well, everybody's were last week. You know, I mean,
Likely has 16 targets, 11 were in the opener.
Yeah.
Against Kansas City.
Now, that one play, Bob, that where Lamar dropped back and like he looks over to the running back over to the right, it looked like somebody screwed up. They were running a screen pass to Likely right there on the left side, and Likely was covered. So, I mean, that was one that was going to be for him. But, yeah, I mean, and Bob, how about they threw it 15 times, still scored 31 points.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Fan. It is News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. Now, Ravens, they were up 28-6. Going into the fourth quarter, then they weren't any longer. Needed to move the chains to run at the clock against Dallas. Zach Orr, Ravens DC, was asked about that defense or lack thereof.
It's not a lack of guys wanting to or trying to. We just come up short in that area, and it's something that we're looking at hard, something that we're focusing on with the communication, with the tackling, you know, with the calls, with me as well. So we all in this together. We know what we're capable of doing. But we have to do it for 4 quarters, and we haven't done that the last 2 games, and that's where we're at right now, and that's what we're so motivated to get better at and to show that we can put a complete game together.
Bob, what I hear there is in the fourth quarter is tackling and communication, and both of those things, do they happen because you're tired? You know, all of a sudden you're not thinking as well as you were earlier, not as sharp as you were earlier. And the tackling was horrendous in the fourth quarter, I thought. I mean, there was a lot of candidates at that time.
And one of the culprits, I guess, could be Marcus Williams, who's had a relatively quiet first three games of the season. Here's Zach, we're talking about his young veteran safety.
The one thing you don't want to do as a defense is where the offense can peg where guys are at. If they know where a guy's going to be at every single time, now they can scheme you up a whole bunch of different ways. So Marcus is a talented guy. He's been doing a heck of a job for us this year. And, you know, all our guys in the back end can play in the box. They can play deep. So we let those guys do that.
I would say this. If you're just, like, watching the game, he doesn't show up. Whereas, like, when you're watching, you 14? Oh, yep, there he is again. 32? Positively. You don't see I haven't seen a lot of, you know, I saw a dropped interception. I saw missed tackles. So, I mean, he has been non-factor thus far in the defense.
Now the Buffalo offense comes in here kind of cooking on all cylinders right now. Zach Gord talks about what Josh Allen and crew bring to the equation.
It's real challenging because whenever you got a quarterback who can throw the ball like he can, but also they have designed QB runs, that's an extra hat. So you have to account for that. Most times, just if you just call a regular defense, you don't have an extra hat for the quarterback on designed runs. So that's what makes it challenging. So as soon as you put everybody in there to stop the run, well, he's still a quarterback. He can still throw the ball. I think it comes down to us executing, us understanding, you know, where we got to be at and what plays they're trying to do in these certain situations.
Yeah, and the thing is with, you know, I mean, look at Jacksonville last, I mean, you know the same things that Josh Allen is going to, you know, he likes to run, and then you put nobody, you're playing man coverage, and you got nobody in the middle of the field. So your linemen rush, receivers run, and he's going. If he sees space, he's kind of like Lamar. He drops back and he sees a hole. He's running. Forget the pass. I'm gone. And that's what he'll do, too. That's why you always got to have somebody over the ball, you know, whether in passing type situations. Otherwise, he's going to go.
Now, we'll get into a full-on stat breakdown, both teams coming up at 1 o'clock when we get to NFL lunch. But the Ravens, let's just say they've had their share of penalties. Todd Monken, the Ravens offensive coordinator, was asked about trying to at least tone it down a little bit.
Playing clean football, eliminating the penalties, will allow us to not waste yards. We've got a lot of yards. Okay, now how do we turn that into functional, directed yards and turn them into points? Because that's really what it's about.
That's the whole key, because the Ravens haven't been scoring a lot of points. That's the problem. So what they've got to do is, you know, they've got to finish things. And, you know, it'd be nice if somebody, you know, like last week, they have the long run with Henry. You know, you get some chunk plays for touchdowns and make it a little bit easier. Because when you got to go 9-10 plays, more than likely, you're going to have some busts, or you're going to have some penalties, or you're going to have some breakdowns. And, you know, I think that is hindering their scoring a lot of points.
We'll come back, count some dough. How about that? Let's get selfish. Count a little money here, but we'll talk about the many sports subjects coming up this weekend. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. We'll preview Maryland, Indiana, get an update on Kevin Willard recruiting here. Maryland be tipping off their season before you know it. Busy schedule coming up in the Big Ten with new additions to the conference. American League East and Beyond report. We'll look at some of the scores from yesterday, look at the schedule for tonight, and an updated look at the standings. Well, every division's been clinched, but just a couple of wild card spots up for grabs heading into the final weekend. And then, as we said, NFL lunch, Vinny's stat breakdown of Buffalo 3-0 against the Ravens 1-2. It's Vinny and Eddie, Nolan McGraw. It's Featured Artist Friday. It's the Monkees, for crying out loud, here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Monkees. Got tons going on in sports. Orioles at Minnesota tonight, taking on the Twins, 8:10 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight, Tim Barbalace, Ryan Ripken, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, getting you ready for the final series of the regular season. Orioles win, they're the top wild card, and Minnesota's done, so stay tuned for that. Ravens hosting Buffalo Sunday night. 2.5-point favorites are the Ravens. M&T Bank Stadium, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus, live from Brew Brothers. That starts at 5 o'clock. Get ready for that. Got Maryland, Indiana tomorrow on the Fan. That starts at noon. Kickoff coverage begins at 11 o'clock. Get ready for that. And everything else in between. But let's count that dough first by itself.
Got kind of a mixed bag. The Dow's up 278. The S&P's down 1. NASDAQ's down 66. DraftKings down 88 cents. Under Armour's up 23 cents to 842.
We're going to get things started here in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns jump-starting that offense. It's been a struggle this year. Deshaun Watson continuing to not live up to his price tag. And earlier this week, a local reporter there in Cleveland asked Watson if they would consider drawing up more designed runs for him in an effort to, you know, sustain some drives, spark something there on offense. The quarterback actually laughed in his, at the idea, said he has no intention to ask for more designed runs because he doesn't want to take the hits, and the team signed him to throw, not run. In his early seasons with Houston, he did use his legs. He was actually pretty effective, hovering around 400 yards a year, averaging over 5 yards a carry. Buyer sell Vinny, having Watson get out and run more should be considered by Cleveland's OC.
I buy that 100%. And you know what? If I was GM and I heard that, I'd say, we got the wrong dude, man. I mean, what you'd like to hear is, I do whatever it takes for us to win games, not I only throw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I mean,
you're already in a hole if you're Deshaun Watson.
Well, he's going to be running for his life anyhow in this game without, you know, his two tackles are out and, you know, they can't run the ball. So I hope he has to run, Bob. And I hope he does get hit a few times.
Both of their starting tackles are going to be out, looks like, for the Raiders coming up here. Max Crosby, get to know Deshaun Watson.
A little baseball here. Award voting will take place at the conclusion of the regular season, but we can make a pretty good guess as to who some of the winners are going to be right now. For example, Cy Young in the National League seems to be pretty set going to Chris Sale at this point. Didn't see that one coming.
No.
Certainly not. He could probably be in line or should win comeback player of the year honors as well. It would mark his first career Cy Young Award after finishing top five in voting every year between 2013 and 2018, but never was the guy. In that time with Chicago and Boston, consistently one of the best of his era, huge strikeout numbers, also helped bring home a ring in 2018. Buy or sell, Bob, a Cy Young Award would make Chris Sale Hall of Fame worthy.
I'm going to pump the brakes on that. I'm going to sell it right now. Chris Sale, when he's at his best, and he's been great this year, might not throw as hard as he did with Chicago especially. He was as filthy as, because he's big, and it was like the ball was right on top of you coming from that left hand. But he's had a monster season, very good career. A lot of injury issues, though. And by the way, if you're a throwback jersey or a television, look out, because you're going to feel the wrath of Chris Sale, because you are done.
What was the sleeves were too tight or something?
It was like the 83 winning ugly jerseys. He was ripping it off, and then he was like bashing TVs down in spring training. Hey, inanimate object. It's always your fault.
Well, a little more football here. Andy Dalton, he's going to get a chance to play against his former team this week when the Panthers host the Bengals. He says he's excited for the opportunity, but it's not the first time he's had a chance for revenge. It will actually mark his fourth career start against Cincinnati, which I was a little surprised by considering he's been mostly a backup in his time post-Bengals. His stats in those games, pretty solid as well. Cumulative passer rating across the three games of over 100, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Buy or sell, Vinny, Dalton will play a clean game this Sunday, no turnovers.
I'll buy it because their defense is not very good. I mean, they got Hendrickson rushing the passer. That's about it. Otherwise, their secondary is not great. So, yeah, I'll buy that he does that.
Deontay Johnson, isn't that what Harmon said? Go there.
Yeah.
Receiver.
Mm.
Yeah. No Thielen, so limited options.
Mm-hmm.
A little more baseball here. The Astros, their fan base gave Alex Bregman a big ovation in the final home game of the regular season the other day. Still going to play games there during the playoffs at Minute Maid Park, but as a pending free agent, you never know when your last game may be at your home stadium. He has remained effective when healthy throughout his career. Did miss a handful of games this year. You throw in his age, 30 years old, the fact that he's a Scott Boras client, things get a little more complicated when we start talking about negotiations. Buy or sell, Bob, Bregman will need a big postseason for the Astros to give him another extension.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean, Correa's left. Springer left a couple of years ago. They've seen Verlander or Gerrit Cole left, signed with the Yankees. I mean, players have moved on. They've been able to maintain their supremacy in the West. I think Bregman will be moving to a new destination to apply his trade as a baseball player.
And we'll close with this. The Christian McCaffrey saga. It continues to get more confusing by the day. After being questionable leading up to week one, we know he ultimately didn't play. Kyle Shanahan said that had it been a playoff game, he would have suited up, but just wasn't quite 100%. But then that talk of a calf strain, it got reclassified to all of a sudden being Achilles tendonitis, which sounds much more menacing than just a calf strain.
Isn't that a Greek philosopher, right? Achilles tendonitis?
They placed him on IR as well, and he's traveled out to Germany to seek expert advice on the injury. When asked this week, hey, Kyle Shanahan, is there a chance this guy could miss the entire season? Coach said simply, not that I know of. Buy or sell, Vinny, McCaffrey will play less than half of the 49ers games this year.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. He's not trending right. I mean, if you're going all the way to Germany during the middle of the season, you've got some issues. But he's kind of like kind of crazy that way with all his medical stuff. And I think, you know, because I watched a show, like his dad started him that in high school. You know, where his dad would have him getting treatment all the time and go, you know, like a pro almost. So if you're going to Germany, I would think that you got concerns.
And who's the guy, Mason? Mm-hmm. He's had a pretty big first three weeks for them.
He's like second in the league in rushing.
So, I mean, they're kind of surviving, if you will, without him. But having one of the best players in football in your lineup makes you better, duh.
Yeah, because he can line up in the slot. They throw a lot to him, too. And yeah, I mean, that's why he's the number one pick in fantasy.
And they just paid him. They gave him that big contract.
Extra 19 mil.
Yeah.
Hey, how about Brandon Ayuk comes to the party here?
Yeah, my wife would like that, too, because he's on her fantasy, and he hadn't shown up yet.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Is it a fantasy for Maryland to win at Indiana, getting 6.5 tomorrow? Keith Cavanaugh breaks down that game. Get a status report on basketball recruiting for Kevin Willard's squad. We're less than a month away from Media Day. Maryland basketball, 2024-2025. Oh, my God, time is a-ticking. And then we're down to three games left in the regular season. Major League Baseball scores, standing, all that good stuff. And up on launch at 1 o'clock, Vinny's stat breakdown. Buffalo and the Ravens, what do the stats tell? One team's 1-2, one's 3-0. Will the numbers say that? Indiana tomorrow, Bloomington taking on the undefeated Hoosiers, who are 6.5-point favorites. Maryland 3-1, first Big Ten road game of the season, looking for their first conference win of the season. Here to preview that, talk basketball recruiting as well, as the season's creeping closer there on the hardwood. From TerrapinTimes.com, let's welcome back, as we do every Friday. He had a Davy Jones t-shirt when he was a kid. He's Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, what's up?
Guys, speaking of said basketball recruiting, big news will be coming Tuesday. That's when Maryland's top point guard target, Chris Jeffrey, the four-star from Mount Zion Prep in Atlanta, Maryland, will announce between Maryland, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M. Kind of an odd brew there, but Maryland's the heavy favorite to get him. Bob, Vinny, he is a Mateen Cleave / John Gilchrist comp.
Oh.
So if you can imagine them, a big, you know, physical get after you guard, who slashes, crashes, defends. So he's their top priority. We'll know Tuesday. Maryland's the lean. Jordan Scott, you know, Christy Winter Scott, son, 6'7", shooter, deluxe. Him and Cam Ward are both visiting Michigan State next weekend. And then Maryland could still possibly leave for Jordan Scott. Virginia Tech's heavily in there as well. But Chris Jeffrey would be the second commit after Jackson, another four-star, another local. That would be great. And then on the bad news side of recruiting, shifting, segueing quickly to football, Maryland's four-star corner, Jet White, who had been committed the last 6 months out of Florida, originally from California, was a USC commit for 9 months. He's been to four different high schools. He committed way back when at the All-America game to Maryland, four-star corner, Jet White out of Miami, has decommitted, unfortunately. It happens. It happens with Florida kids, and it happens with Florida kids who've been at 19 different schools already.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, there's a law. So the class goes, there are 21 commits. The class goes from 23 to 26 nationally, which is still really good, but it comes with the territory. I think this is the fourth decommit of the cycle going way back in the spring when these guys commit just willy-nilly, and many will not last. But anyhow, only bad news of the day there.
Well, look, you and I have been talking recruiting Keith for over 20 years, and
30,
I've developed the Drago from Rocky IV philosophy. If he signs, he signs. Right. You know what I mean? The verbal commitments are, get out of here. Ask that dude from UNLV about that verbal commitment, how that worked out for him when it came to his NIL. Real quick before we get to football in the upcoming game tomorrow against Indiana, you mentioned Cleaves-Gilchrist comparison because Gilchrist, a little bit bigger, if memory serves, than Mateen Cleaves, brought a little more athleticism. So is he somewhere in between? Both were winners, by the way, Cleaves and Gilchrist.
Yeah, the takeaway is tough physical.
Right.
Get downhill type guard, get to the rim, finish physical at both ends. And, it's great getting a local kid. That's an emerging prep school that's really been putting out players like Malachi Palmer last year to Maryland. So that would be very nice. He just announced this morning that he'll announce on Tuesday, but Maryland's the leader there. But we do have a little football game tomorrow in a monsoon in Indiana as well to talk about here.
And we talked about the quarterback here for with Chip Patterson, the transfer from Ohio, Rourke, who's off to a nice season.
Yeah.
Great start, as a matter of fact. What about that running game for the Hoosiers if the weather is going to be adverse?
Well,
how's that going to work out for old Loxley's crew defensively there?
Well, Cignetti can coach. He's an old ball coach. He's a disciplinarian. He does not beat himself. Look what he did turning around IUP, Elon, JMU. JMU, they just reload and hang 53 on Carolina last week at halftime and 70 total. But Rourke has a great O-line. He's 6'5". He's thrown 8 touchdowns. They have 0 turnovers this year as a team. But getting back to your running back question, great O-line, they have a three-headed monster of portals stars. Justin Ellison came up from Wake. He's averaging 7.5 yards per carry. Tyson Lawton came from JMU, and Elijah Green came over from North Carolina. All are getting reps. Now, they have only played so far FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, and the Fighting Biff Pogey Charlotte 49ers. They're averaging 50 points a game. They had 31, 77, 52, and 44 another game. Defensively, they're only allowing a little over 9 points a game, only 2.6 yards on the ground rushing. Secondary is very good. It's going to be a great challenge, not to mention, if the weather and whatnot. But this is the first real Big Ten road test. Big time. They have big time lines, both sides, particularly the offensive line, and they don't beat themselves. So will Maryland have a first quarter like they did against Villanova last week, or will they have a third quarter last week where they cratered and started beating themselves? Cignetti will not beat himself. They will not have the self-inflicted. Maryland's got to go out there, try to play a clean game and steal a road win after that Michigan State debacle here before they head into the bye week. And then, things pick back up when, USC and Oregon are two of your next three games.
Keith, I would think if the weather's not great, I could see a big Billy Edwards run game going on.
Yeah, I'd like to see more RPO from him, Vinny. He obviously has ability. You don't want to get him injured. But, Nolan Ray, I want to see more reps from him. Hemby, show us his first two game, or particularly first game, head of steam. The other two guys kind of make you miss more. Felton is lighting the world up. this year as a receiver, but we'll just have to see what the elements are like out there. Preston Howard at tight end. But the run game is going to be critical. Maryland O-line is dinged. Andre Roy on left tackle, still injured. You know, the interior of the Maryland O-line, you know, again, we talked about how problematic the line would be this year, but the interior has been pretty well, but the tackles, exterior has not been as good. This is just a smart, disciplined, tough team, and they have a traditional line, both sides of the ball. And Cignetti, you know, everywhere he's been, he's had the Midas touch. They run a shotgun spread. So if the weather's not too bad, they're going to be airing it out. Big quarterback at 6'5", and Rourke, yeah, Ohio transfer. So they've done really well in the portal as well with plug-and-play guys who are having impacts.
Keith, you're talking me out of picking Maryland. What has Maryland got to do to win?
Vinny's on that bad way. Yeah. The point, he's wearing Maryland stuff, Keith. It was given to him for free.
Are, they are what, 7-point underdogs, Maryland?
6.5, according to ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, the big thing is, has Indiana really been tested? You know, obviously, UCLA is horrific this year. I mean, opening game, they had all they could do to get down to Hawaii and eke that one out in the last play of the game.
All you had to do was look at the Big Ten press conference and you could tell them.
Or every time he does a presser, it gets sideways. But, Maryland is still averaging 9 or 10 penalties a game. Their 10-plus takeaways has been great. They lead among the nation in takeaways. Indiana's hasn't turned it over once. So, obviously, the smarter, more disciplined team, particularly if it's in the elements as projected, is going to come out on top. But love a lot of the things going on. Billy and Felton. You know, Husky and Fisher have got to pick it up in the secondary. The secondary could be easily torched by a guy like this. Rourke has got great feel, great vision, great touch, throws very catchable balls. And, Maryland's got to get off the bus and be ready to go because got to steal one here after being a 10-point favorite at home against Michigan State with a new quarterback, new coach and everything, and blew that one in the secondary right away.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, always appreciate your time on a Friday. What Monkey song you want to hear?
Last Train to Clarksville. Have you played that? Yeah. I don't even know any of it.
You just named it. We got that coming sooner or later. Keith, have a great weekend. We'll talk next Friday.
You too, guys. See you.
All right, there he is, Keith Cavanaugh. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, American League East Report and beyond. Talk about what's happening. Baseball heading into the last weekend of the regular season. NFL Lunch brings us stats as Vinny breaks down the numbers between the Ravens and the Bills. We'll get our picks in for this week, college and pro. And then Rich Dubraw, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Talk about the Orioles heading to Minnesota, trying to clinch that top wild card, finish off the Twinkies, and look ahead maybe to what the roster's going to look like for the wild card round.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday, heading into, believe it or not, the last regular season series of the 2024 season for everyone across baseball. Today's what, the 27th? Opener was what, the 28th, 29th? So it's March, April, May, June, July, August. 6 months already has elapsed. And here we are heading into the finale. The playoffs start next week. Orioles are in it. That's all that matters. But they're not going to win the East for back-to-back years, something they haven't done in 50 seasons, 73-74. Both times lost to the A's in the ALCS. By the way, if you missed it yesterday, Oakland A's played their last game. Yep. They will now be the whatever the hell A's.
Sacramento?
I think they're just going to be the A's, and then they'll be the Vegas A's, as greed and fan bases be damned. We'll hold you hostage. And look, Oakland was my second favorite team as a kid. Bordy played for the A's, played in World Series and playoffs with them. Great history. I think that mid-70s team is the only team other than the Yankees to win 3 straight World Series. So they have Hall of Famers and All-Stars at the yin-yang. And Oakland, I feel your pain because I was around when the Colts left. Bullets left when I was 8. So, it sucked kind of, but I didn't lose any sleep. The Colts leaving when I was 19, that was a dagger, man.
Was that about a stadium, Bob?
It was about a dopey owner, wanted a new stadium, and Baltimore, quite frankly, is complicit in it because they didn't give him one. But what it did, Colts leaving kind of led to the Camden Yards becoming a thing, and, you know, it's all worked out in the end.
Right.
But, you know, imagine living your entire decade of your 20s and you didn't have a football team. Prime tailgating years, Nolan. I had nobody to root for. I compromised and went to Philly and went down to watch a team I hated, the Redskins, but it was football. But I couldn't go downtown and party like you young whippersnappers can now at 26 years old.
And think about it for the Bay Area fans. I mean, how many teams are going to leave?
They're gone.
Raiders, Warriors aren't in the Bay Area anymore.
Well, they're in San Francisco.
Sure, but Oakland's out of there, or the A's are leaving. So, I mean, it's not just one team. I mean, your whole sports identity.
Right.
Is
they had a pro hockey team at one. Oakland Seals, I think it was.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Back in the 70s there. Yeah. But, hey, look, Vegas, which was taboo to all sports for many years, they're loading up. They're probably going to get an NBA team before it's all said.
No doubt. No doubt.
So there you go. But Oakland, hey, man, I feel your pain. But anyway, Orioles, they got beat up yesterday. You know, Burns got yanked. I had no problem with it. We've talked about that through five. He'll be ready to pitch Tuesday. That's all that matters. But the bullpen sucked. Cano and Perez in particular. It's like, man, get it together, man. And maybe we'll see that try to happen this weekend against the Twins. But 10-1, Orioles do finish 8-5 against the Yankees this season. 5-2 at Yankee Stadium. Second straight year the Orioles have won the season series against New York. But other things happen in baseball. For instance, we leave here yesterday at 2. Tampa leads the Tigers 2-0, extended the lead to 3-0. And then the Tigers said, we refuse to lose.
Jahan hits it high in the air, straight away. Yep. Siri is camped. He's got it. Fearling racing home. The throw is right. The Tigers will not stop.
Bally Sports on the call. Mallory, he gets the sack fly. They come from behind to win 4-3. They won 9 of their last 10 games. Barring a miracle with the Twins, they're going to the playoffs. Same, it looks like, with Kansas City. They were up 4-1. Then the Nats came back and tied it, and a former Oriole did good things late for them.
And Frazier, it's a line drive, base hit left field. Blanco scores. Massey scores, and Adam Frazier drives in two with one out in the ninth inning.
Frazier with the big hit there as Kansas City wins that with 7-4. They sweep that series against the Washington Nationals, so they have righted the ship at the right time because they had lost 7 in a row going into that series against the Nats. Marlins beat the Twins in extras 8-6. So Minnesota, their meltdown in September is almost complete. As a matter of fact, the Orioles can kind of finish them. They can finish them tonight. So the Orioles, two birds, one stone, no pun intended, clinch top wild card, send Minnesota in a sleepy time there. Some of your games tonight of import. Detroit hosts the White Sox. Now they're hot all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I did see that Grady Sizemore put Garrett Crochet tonight's starting pitcher. So it's like, hey, and he even said, it's a rivalry game. You know, we're trying to win something here. So they send their best pitcher out there to maybe cool them off a little bit. It's not going to really matter, I don't think. Kansas City's at Atlanta, though. And Atlanta's got a lot to play for.
Oh, boy, do they ever.
I mean, they're right there on the heels of the Diamondbacks and that wild card, which we'll get to in a second. And Royals are trying to maintain here themselves. Mets, same thing. They're at Milwaukee. Brujas have already clinched their division. I guess, you know, looking for positivity there. San Diego is at Arizona. Arizona's magic number to get the wild card is 1.
Yeah.
So there you go. Arizona tries. San Diego's already in. So we'll see.
The Mets number, Bob?
They right now are a game up on Atlanta. Ooh. So there's still nothing to be determined here just yet. But standings, all divisions are clinched. But the wild card, Orioles, Kansas City and Detroit are the wild cards. If the playoffs started today, Orioles would take on KC. Detroit would go to Houston. And then the Orioles-Kansas City winner would take on the number one seed, which right now is New York, by a game over Cleveland. In the National League, Let's see. San Diego, New York, and Arizona are in. Atlanta is a game back. Braves have won three in a row, and they've got Max Fried going tonight in their game. So still some very important games coming up this weekend.
And Monday is going to be kind of fun because that's the only thing that's going to be on. It's a traditional doubleheader.
Right.
But, Bob, if the Mets would be up one and they win, then they're not playing the second game, I would assume.
No. I mean, they might not need to play any of them, depending on how this goes this weekend. Because Arizona, again, if they win, they're in. Right. I think their magic number is one. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. But lots to be determined as Major League Baseball winds down a regular season. Now heading into the postseason with great expectations. If you go to last year, we're talking at this time, pick a World Series team. Ah, the Orioles, man. Houston, Philly, the Dodgers. Yeah, it's Arizona and Texas. Nobody saw that one coming, and maybe it could be more of the same. Could be the Tigers and the Diamondbacks in the World Series 2024. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. When we come back to Super Bowl contenders are getting it on down in Baltimore. NFL lunch. Vinny's going to break down the stats between the Bills and the Ravens. Then we'll do our picks for this weekend, and we'll talk about the Orioles with Rich Dubroff. They're probably going to be the number one wild card, but what's that roster going to look like moving ahead to opponent to be determined starting on Tuesday?